Welcome back to the programme. Now, Roddy Doyle was just saying how he picks names for his characters. I heard some novels get their character names from the graveyard. Don't know, that kind of feels a bit eerie. But anyway, I believe that Roddy Doyle's creativity helped us to forget the recession of the 80s and also gave us the confidence to drag ourselves out of it. That comes from Tipperary. And you know, the funny, I remember at the time thinking, you know, because we were solemnly and drearily doing programmes about unemployment and misery and all that. And this explosion of energy and good humour was so refreshing. Anyway, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but it certainly was like a breath of fresh air. Hi, Marion. This is on the green card. My partner contacted his insurer re-obtaining a green card. They knew nothing about it. Right hand not knowing what the left hand is doing. Another one. I'll travel to Northern Ireland from Dublin in April. I refuse to get a green card to go from one part of my island to the other. I will show insurance and Irish license and that's it. Oh, Janie. We could be back. What was it if a fella were in a uniform, you know? Anyway, that's that person's point of view. Another one saying that they had never heard of it. And another one said, I rang my car insurer and they're getting green cards in on Monday. They put my name on a list and said I'd have it before the 29th. So there you go. That's for Elizabeth in Leitrim. Now, moving on for the sort of thing that I suspect Charlie Savage would be deeply interested in, which is dress codes at work. And this week, Goldman Sachs issued a memo to staff to indicate their move to a flexible dress code. Virgin Atlantic no longer require female cabin crew to wear makeup. Aer Lingus have confirmed that their new uniform will include a trouser option for females and that makeup will not be mandatory in their new staff guidelines. This trend, there was a time when this would sound like atheistic stuff. Anyway, this trend towards more casual attire at work is not new, but does seem to be getting more prevalent, even in sectors that are traditionally more formal. So I'm joined now by Martina McCauley, co-director of the HR team, and Gavin Fitzgerald, a solicitor who works at the law firm Le Mans. And you're both very welcome indeed. What do they mean by dress code? I'm looking at a couple of things. Business dress, such as smart casual. When I see that on an invitation, I go, in the name of the Lord, what does that mean?
What is it?
Yeah.
So, thanks very much, Marion. So, you're quite right. A lot of people don't know the difference in the various different types of dress code within the workplace. And that's why we've defined it a little. We and our business deal with various different types of sectors and industries where you will go from very smart attire, such as in solicitors and accountancy practices, to industries such as retail and hospitality that must wear a uniform. And then we have this smart casual, perhaps, where the boundaries are. We don't know. And that's why we would say there needs to be clear boundaries for what someone should wear.
Okay.
So in the workplace.
What's the story in your company?
Yeah, so
Gavin, sorry, yeah.
No worries. So Le Mans would be one of the more forward-thinking law firms, I suppose, out there.
Nothing biased there.
Yeah. Plug already in, Marion. Yeah. We're only 30 seconds in. But yeah, so basically we have the business casual attire, okay? And I suppose in order to understand where that comes from, you got to look at the first word. It's still business and you take it from there. So the typical law firm attire would have been business attire, which for guys would have been the full suit, a plain shirt and a plain tie and very much black shoes. That's what we're all kind of used to. And that's where I sort of came from in a different corporate law firm. So I suppose where Le Mans have sort of twisted that since kind of 2016, is bringing in the more business casual. So look, it's basically informalizing the business attire. So by doing that, look, the removal of the tie would be the very first thing to do. And you'd be amazed how much even just the removal of the tie can have an effect on people.
And when you say an effect on people, what kind of effect?
Very much positive.
Really?
Very much positive, yeah. And I suppose I'm a good example of it because I came from the formal suit and tie. And don't get me wrong, there's a time and a place for it. And
yeah.
I think it's important to always remember that. So where Le Mans come from is dress for your day. And I think that's important to always remember. So dress for your day. So, you know, if you're a litigation lawyer and you've got a Supreme Court action on Monday morning, you're going down to the forecourt.
You don't go in a pair of shorts.
Correct.
Right.
Because you wouldn't last very long. And then, however, you know, on Tuesday, you're just going to be in the office. You're going to be on conference calls, responding to client emails and drafting documents. Then really, what's the necessity of having the full tie? So very positive outlook, because it brings in that bit of flexibility into the workforce.
Right. And you believe it should actually be defined.
It should be. So if you take your case, Gavin, if you turned up for work on your first day in a full business attire with the tie on, you might have felt very uncomfortable. And I actually had an example of that on one occasion when I was dealing with a business and I was talking to an employee, and they said that they had turned up for work first day. They'd presumed, because it was the type of sector, to wear a full suit. They turned up and everyone was in casual clothes, and they felt really silly for the entire day. They were overdressed.
Right.
So if you do have something out of the norm, definitely tell your employees, right, especially when they're starting.
Okay, listen, we're going to continue this after the news. I have to stop for the Angelus and the news, and I'll be back with Martina McCauley and Gavin Fitzgerald after that. But first, the Angelus. And we are going to go back to the subject of dress codes with Martina McCauley and Gavin Fitzgerald. And we've one caller in already. Marion, I find it respectful if people wear ties to a funeral. When I'm dealing with business people, e.g. bank manager, solicitor, etc., it's just too casual not to have a suit, clean shirt and tie. If they are not minding their own appearance and respectable looking, how could I believe they will mind my money and business? Do you remember what happened 10 years ago and how brilliant people were at minding money and what it all cost us? Anyway, your response, I mean, people have a very short memory.
Yeah.
Your response to that, Gavin?
Yeah, well, my response to that is, look, I suppose, firstly, you have to take everyone's opinion on board. And Le Mans were a prime example of doing that. So the last couple of years, we carried out a survey with our clients, because some law firms in particular are unwilling to listen to anybody. Most importantly, you should always listen to your clients. So we actually did. We carried out a survey with some of our top clients. And one of the overwhelming feedback was that not only did they not want us in the formal attire, they actually were quite intimidated by it. So we took that on board, listened to them. And that was one of the big sort of driving forces in our change to bring in the business attire in.
Right.
Now, what I will say about it all, okay, it's flexible. If some of our clients, and we'll know them in advance, if they prefer us in the formal attire, of course, we're chameleons like that. We can evolve and change, and it's flexible. But what we have found is dramatically overwhelming, I suppose, is that clients were feeling a bit intimidated in the full suit.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
There's one in saying, my daughter has been told to wear a skirt to a transition year mock interview. Please advise. Yours sincerely, exasperated mother. You were saying, no, let's answer her question first.
So to that, I would say, why does she have to wear the skirt? So, and this is where employers need to be very mindful of employment legislation, and that they don't fall foul of that. And what we're looking at is discrimination legislation. And if you're asking someone to wear a particular item of clothing or dress in a particular way, which the employer is entitled to do, they need to have a very good reason if it's something such as wearing makeup, or if it's something such as wearing a skirt or heels. They need to have a very good reason. And I couldn't see one for that.
Right. Remind us of the court case in, it was in Britain, wasn't it?
It was.
About the high heels.
So an employee actually raised a petition because she was asked to wear high heels to do her job. Now, she was in a firm that and she would be on her feet for the majority of the day in an administrative position. And she got a petition signed, and there was some recommendations from the government in the UK as a result of that, so that employees, it could be considered to fall foul of employment legislation, discrimination, to ask someone to wear heels. And, you know, if you're looking at risk, that would be a huge risk for an organisation, and you would have to ask why. You know, we have the employment law side of it, but also the human side. Why would you ask someone to wear something that they're extremely uncomfortable in?
And if they're the wrong ones, they can be excruciating.
Exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
And it's the same with a skirt. There's no reason that that someone can't look professional in a trouser suit.
But can I, Ceisda Go Márta, as I say, but like wearing a pair of runners, say, like I presume they'd be 50 times more comfortable than the high heels. But would an employer be within their rights to say, no, that's too far?
Exactly, exactly.
Would they be
Yes, they would be within their rights. So flat shoes would be a fair description. So flat, comfortable shoes would be a fair description.
Right.
And they might want to say that they're black or they're brown or whatever colour, and it suits the business ethos, such as in your own case, Gavin.
I think what I'd harp on that as well, Marion, is that I think it's all relative to the actual industry you're working in.
Right.
So let's say, for example, our fantastic firefighters that do an unbelievable job on a daily basis. You know, if you were to enforce them to wear a Louis Copeland coat into work, I don't think that's going to be very practical. You know, they need to be safe. They need to have the helmets on and fireproof gloves, for example. So it's all relative. The advice is that myself and Martina would be given, it's very subjective to the office place, what we'd be talking about.
Now, you worked in firms where people thought, oh my goodness, brown shoes?
I did, yeah.
Tell me about that.
Thanks for bringing that up. And I have a pair of brown shoes on today, Maureen, just for good order.
They're not Doc Martens by any
chance. So look, and we're talking as recently as kind of 3-4 years ago. That'll kind of give you an insight into the legal sort of industry in terms of we'd be one of the slower ones to shift. And that's where I suppose Le Mans would be one of the more proactive rather than reactive. But yeah, a couple of years ago, I came in my first week kind of talking to Martina about it earlier. And I had the suit on. But I said, you know what, I'll take a risk here and I'll wear a pair of brown shoes. I wasn't trying to reinvent the wheel here. And the partner pulled me aside and said, this isn't a clown factory. This isn't appropriate to wearing brown shoes. So I'll tell you, I didn't wear them again. That's for sure.
And you know, from my perspective, that I found that quite shocking when you were telling me that, I'd say, because it could lead to a grievance from an employee to be told that, you know, in their first weeks or months of work. And that's where it comes back to, if you're going to have a strict dress code, such as black shoes and ties, then let the employee know in advance so that they don't come into work, for example, as you did, Gavin, wearing brown shoes and then made to feel inadequate for dressing incorrectly. So if there is a standard, it's important that employees are aware of it.
Yeah. And another thing that we brought in then, I suppose, just to help people, because it is business casual, business attire, smart casual, can be quite confusing for people.
Certainly can.
So what we do is once a year in Le Mans is the Great Place to Work committee. We try and do what we can and we carry on a fashion show once a year. Now, we don't bring in Naomi Campbell or anything for it. It's the staff members ourselves. We go to Brown Thomas or Arnott's, personal shopper kind of shows us around for a couple of hours and kind of shows us, kind of harping back to what Martina said earlier, where the boundaries are. You're not obliged to wear what they're wearing, of course you're not, but we're given a budget towards it because it can be a little bit more expensive than your couple of suits a year. And then we sort of, the professional shoppers will show us, both men and women, what's sort of reasonable and what's not.
Right. Okay. Well, if you get an allowance, I suppose it's fair enough. Like, I presume you wouldn't be shopping in Marks or Dunn's.
Oh, well, I wouldn't comment about that, Marion. Now, they've got some great attire in there. But yeah, well, listen, it's a professional services firm at the end of the day. And this kind of comes back to your runner's query. You know, clients do expect a certain level of professionalism from you. So you have to use your noggin, to be honest.
And broadly speaking, what kind of allowance would you get?
Broadly speaking, it's just under €500, but €350-400. And you know what? Like, it goes a long way if you're smart about it. And if you look out for the good sales, Marion, which I'm a big believer in.
Right, okay. Another caller says, I work for a big department store and recently they had a plain clothes denim week. I find I don't respect my line manager. I've just done myself some damage here on the screen. I find I don't respect my line manager as much since also doctors wearing trainers and casual dress gives me no confidence. The same with airline staff. People just haven't got the same trust.
Well, I think it comes down to what the organisation is trying to project as their image. Your law firm, Gavin, is projecting an image of trust and relaxing the client. And yes, there should be standards, so it shouldn't be, as you said earlier, Marion, a free-for-all and turn into in shorts or trainers. And I think that's where there needs to be a definition. So, okay, it might be a more relaxed business dress where people aren't wearing ties or black shoes per se, but that it's, there's still a standard. And for us in employment law and when we're advising clients, what we would be saying is making sure that there's a code that maybe clearly highlights any items that could lead to issues, such as claims for discrimination. For example, to letting employees know that T-shirts with political slogans around election times wouldn't be appropriate attire into the workplace, or maybe football jerseys wouldn't be appropriate attire because they could lead to banter that could get out of control. Exactly. Or, again, harassment can... A lot of people, when they think of harassment claims, they think of something that's been said or done on an employee, but harassment claims can also be visual. So someone coming in with an inappropriate T-shirt, per se, could lead to claims of harassment.
Or taking a side in a referendum,
Exactly. Yeah. And we'll have seen a lot of that this year, and that can lead to huge problems. So it's best... Prevention is better than cure.
Right.
So it's best to lay that out very clearly from the outset.
And what kind of sectors do you deal with? And what are the differences between the various sectors?
So we deal across a wide range of sectors. So you have the professional sectors, such as with law firms, accountancy firms, those traditional. And you're right, Gavin, there is a move away from the extreme suited and booted to that more relaxed. And that's going down to a commercial reason for that. We also deal with your traditional retail hospitality where they must be in a uniform, and there is, and the callers are correct, there's an expectation there that they are. However, it doesn't have to be, for example, rigid in terms of skirts for females and so on. I would advise that it's a fair and equal uniform if it's going to be a uniform. Then we're looking at the more... innovative sectors, if you like. There's the technology sector, where a lot of the time...
Jeans, t-shirts.
And what we have seen with that sector in particular is where the employer might be looking to increase their dress code in terms of standards. So they're looking to change the standards slightly to tell employees, well, actually, trainers are no longer acceptable, or... these sloganed T-shirts or whatever it might be that's causing offence.
Right. Okay. God, there was a time when you just figured, what can I put on me today? But anyway, hi, Marion. I work for a big department store. Oh, that's the one I was talking about the denim. Another one. Love the one about the Australian builders who were told no shorts on the site. Weather was scorching, so they all came to work wearing skirts. Under employment legislation, nothing could be done. Presumably it couldn't.
It couldn't, no, and if it wasn't clearly outlined.
And what about a kilt? I mean, these things matter.
Yeah, I think it's all relative, though, as well. You know, and that's a very funny example. But I think if you delve a little deeper into it, it all comes from trusting your employees. Those construction guys clearly didn't feel that they were trusted by their managers.
Yeah.
So they said, you know what? Let's have a go and we'll come in the skirt. You know, it was kind of two fingers to the man there.
Yeah.
But what we find, particularly in my industry, look, if you trust us, firstly, it's very empowering for the staff members. And secondly, people know where the boundaries typically are. And the results can be fantastic as a result.
Right. I think the worst case of lack of proper standards of dress is in Dáil Éireann. How can we set the standard for the workplace in general with such bad example there? Somebody else says, what about tattoos?
So again, there's no legislation surrounding tattoos, piercings, or indeed dress codes. So what we're looking at is discrimination and claims. So again, if someone has tattoos that could be politically sensitive, for example, then you could ask that person to cover up and wear a long sleeve top.
Could you?
Yes, you could.
Could you? Because basically you're saying your arms are unacceptable.
Well, if they could cause offence, yes, and it's an area where, you know, there's not there isn't employment law, so we're reliant on case law.
Okay, Here's another one. Senior public civil servant here. Didn't wear a tie to a recent meeting. You would think I had committed murder. Such was the horror. Another one says, while at college working in a bar, my daughter was told to wear high heels instead of Doc Martens. She said she'd wear high heels when the barmen did.
Excellent. And this is where it comes back to the cases of equality and ensuring that those practices are fair. So perhaps instead of asking her to wear high heels, they could have stated flat shoes.
Right. OK. Do Martine or Gavin have any advice for a small business owner on how to encourage staff to dress smarter? My issue is with staff wearing athleisure clothes to the office.
And that's where it comes back to the having a dress code. And it's completely acceptable to have a dress code policy where you're outlining what's acceptable and what's not. So if denims and tracksuit bottoms, for example, as the caller had said, are not acceptable, then let them know that the trousers, a shirt is expected, or smart t-shirts.
People could get it severely up their nose, though, if you said that.
Yes, and the business has a right. If it's, you know, because you can see there from the callers that are stating how they expect a business to portray. So yeah, if the customer requires a certain standard, it's a completely acceptable, as long as we're not asking anybody to wear anything that's not appropriate.
Right. Yeah, and I think another example as well, and it goes throughout the firm, is that, you know, you set the standards from the top. So what I mean by that is Irish people are great for looking around us and going, okay, I'll replicate what that exactly man or woman are wearing. So yeah, you have to set the standard from the top. Like, that's where the managing partners or the senior management and all of that need to set the tone. And people, you know, you'd be amazed how people will cop on very quickly as to what's right and what's wrong.
Right, yeah. Okay, it's a tricky one. It's the one that, if it goes wrong, it could go very badly wrong. A couple of years ago in Cannes, mm-hmm, I seem to recall that there was a dress code that the women were expected to wear high heels, and all the kind of super duper trooper stars wore flats. I thought that was terrific.
It was excellent. I seen that and it was excellent.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, listen, thank you very, very much indeed for that, Martina McCauley and Gavin Fitzgerald. We will take a break.
Podcast The Marion Finucane Show at rte.ie/radio.